When I hear vehicle supplied for the regular use, I think company car. That's my first thought. And of course, a cab from one of these cab companies is certainly going to fall within that category of thinking. And so they denied the claim. And they gave all the same reasons that I just gave, and that is, look, he's leased it from the company. He's using it however he wants, but he uses it for business. He uses it 6 to 7 days a week and permitted to drive it for personal use. And it's not insured under the policy. If it were listed under his personal policy, that'd be a different. And the court concludes, they went with Progressive and they said, yes, this is a vehicle supplied for the regular use, so the claim is denied. And this was a very large claim. This was a catastrophic injury claim. But the question is, well, is that exclusion valid against uninsured and underinsured motorist claims? Well, the opinion doesn't address that. Well, I guess it does because it holds that the claim is denied because of that policy provision. But what the opinion really didn't address is the Briones opinion dating back to 1991, which is a writ denied opinion out of San Antonio. And in that case, what we had is we had a passenger in an 18-wheeler who was involved in a single vehicle collision. As a result of that, he wanted to make a claim. But somehow the 18-wheeler was uninsured. Very odd set of facts. So he made a UM claim, an uninsured motorist claim, against his own personal policy. They denied coverage. It's a vehicle supplied for the regular use. And the court said, no. That would frustrate the purpose and the intent of the legislature, which requires that all of these policies provide this coverage. And there's been no case that has reversed or gone against Briona since 1991. So the question is, how do you reconcile these two cases? I truly can't. And the reality is that the opinion here in Progressive doesn't address it. And back to the jam. So that's kind of where we're at. So if you get one of these cases, you know, you just can't read the policy. You have to know where we are in the past. Apologize, I don't always follow up. So then we go to UM-UIM rejections, the perpetual renewals of these rejections. And so Mosley versus Liberty Mutual. Always a problem whenever you get the old rejection that they've rejected. And here, what we have is we have another employee making a claim against an employer's UIM policy. And the employee was operating an 18-wheeler. He got hit by a tortfeasor who had a small policy, a minimum limits $30,000 policy, settled the claim and made the UIM claim. And what happened? The carrier came back and said, nope, there's a written rejection from the employer rejecting UM-UIM coverage. And the employee says, hey, you can't do that. The written rejection isn't valid. And not only do I want my claim covered, I want to get a class certified. Wow, okay, you don't see that very often. So what happens? So we look at the provision under 1952-101. The policies, the state has mandated that every policy includes UM-UIM coverage unless it's rejected in writing. And in here, what the insured is making an underinsured claim, UIM. But the rejection was invalid because it incorrectly defined what an uninsured motorist claim is. It equated UM with UIM, and so you can see the rejection here. This is basically almost verbatim what the statute says for UIM. But we all know an uninsured motorist you didn't exhaust the policy limits, there is no policy. So understand that this case is still kind of in the early stages because they're just talking about is the rejection going to stop the claim altogether and is there going to be a class? And this was, to a large degree, about class certification. And here the insured, well, the employee, is claiming, look, there's other employees, not to mention myself, that are still going to be driving these vehicles. And if you think back to what we just talked about, vehicles furnished for the regular use, who are going to be driving vehicles that we can't get coverage for. Our personal policy won't cover it. And now you're telling me it's been rejected here. But I still say, I'm still worried about this opinion because the analysis comes back odd to me that the rejection here was about uninsured motorist claims, but the court said, nope, it didn't comply with the statute, therefore it's invalid altogether. I don't know how that works out long term or if it will even come up to play. But then Liberty Mutual starts challenging the class, say there's no subject matter jurisdiction, which revolves around ripeness and standing. And what you get there is you, and we have several cases this year that talk about ripeness and standing. And those kind of revolve around the Brainerd analysis and the legally entitlement to recover damages. And here, and you can see Liberty Mutual was focused on the fact that the rejection only had a problem with UM because they said the only question in this case is whether or not the rejection rejects UIM coverage.